This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
And we welcome you into our Warriors Weekly podcast. First one for 2022. It's John Dickinson and Matt Steinmetz. Steiny, good to be with you, my man. Happy New Year. We got a lot to talk about with the Golden State Warriors and with Steph Curry in particular. It's official, my man. It's a slump.
Yeah, it's just a matter of kind of where you want to pinpoint it. 16 games ago, I think, is when he had a 4-for-21, and that's kind of been what a lot of people have deemed the start of it. But you know, I think it's kind of been all season. It wasn't a big deal the first half of the season because he's had starts like this before, but last night's game against Dallas, and you and I were communicating, something was wrong last night. Just, he didn't, you know, up until I thought last night, yeah, okay, he was pressing and missing open shots, but last night his shot looked different almost. Not all of them, but I can't really explain it. I can't really detail exactly what it was, but his shot just didn't. It was like more of a push. It sometimes he didn't fully extend. And then as far as the floor game went, he just seemed to be predetermined where he was going to go. You and I have seen every game of Curry's career, essentially, and I thought it was one of the strangest games I've ever seen him play. He just did not look like Steph Curry. He's looked like Steph Curry this year, just not Steph Curry's having a good year. He's struggling shooting the ball this year, but other than that, he's been great. But last night, it looked like, it's the first time he didn't look like Steph Curry, I thought.
Couple of things when you get into this, you always try to figure out, well, what could be the possible reasons why? And so I say that while also continuing to say that I still maintain there's probably going to be a month stretch where he's just unreal, because this has happened before, maybe not to this level, but it's happened before during seasons where he's come out of it and come out of it in a big time way. Is he playing through something? Is there some kind of, I know he's got the contusion now that Steve Kerr mentioned last night, what, the quad contusion, has he been playing through something that maybe has gone under the radar or unreported? Is it fatigue from playing more minutes? Is it just he's getting a little bit older? Like how do you parse out those things? I thought, as far as last night's game goes, just to bring it back to that point, he seemed a little indecisive at times. Do I want to attack the basket because that's what they're given? Do I want to take the three? Out of rhythm, almost for the first time, really, in a long time, and this hasn't happened very frequently at all, it almost seems like it's a little bit in his head. Like he doesn't know how to get his way out of it. rather than just playing your game and shooting your way out of it. It's almost gone on so long to where it's a thing for him now.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about it. He talked about it a lot after the game against Dallas, and we'll see if he plays tonight against the Pelicans. He didn't seem like he was too optimistic yesterday, but one of the things I like about this this podcast is, you know, you can really get into something. And one of the things that I've always thought, you know, over the last 15 years, or let's say since Curry came into the league and started playing an offensive game that nobody had ever seen before. And I remember 5, 6, 7 years ago, you and I would talk about, you know what, you got to guard Steph Curry 28 feet from the basket. You can't let him walk. And over a few years, we were just kind of amazed at how it felt like players still just didn't understand how far he could shoot from the basket, how accurately. And so I do think part of this is just over the last 10 years, over the last whatever, teams have gotten a little bit better defending the three, I feel like. And I think that's one thing that's also kind of happening is I do think his shots have been a hair more difficult this year. And I think it's just because at this point in his career, when he's done it for so long, like opposing teams have never played him better defensively than they're playing him now, if for no other reason than they've now seen him do it for 10 years. And it takes a while to really, really sink in. So I absolutely think that opposing defense is part of it. You know, I think who knows what it is, but it might be what about the fact that he looks, I mean, he's added bulk. There's just no doubt about it. Everybody's talked about it. Could that be a factor? What about the fact that he's playing a different rotation this year? You know, his minutes are not like they've always been. So that could be it. Here, the other thing is, if it is true that he's having his best defensive year, okay, if that's true, and I'm not saying it isn't, well, the only way you have your best defensive year is if you're expending more effort and energy. That's the only way you could become a better player defensively, right? At 33 for Steph Curry, he's got to be putting more effort into it. Well, then that's going to take the toll on the offensive end. So who knows? But there's it's probably one of those things where there's a dozen different kind of reasons for it.
Well, there's two areas where he's going to get help, I think, here in the very near future, and they're both tied to Klay Thompson coming back. And the Warriors last night, and I thought it was curious, as we record this in between the Dallas game and the New Orleans game, I thought it was curious that Otto Porter sat out the Dallas game. I know they were going to pick one of the two, but I think – so he sits out the Dallas game and Curry struggles and the whole team really struggles shooting the basketball. And so it's interesting because last night was a night where they could have used another shooter on the floor. Like if Otto Porter's on the court last night and makes a couple of threes, they may wind up with a 6 or an 8 point lead late in the third quarter. And they're able to ride that to a win in a game that they wound up kind of, you know, they lost going away and Dallas won the game comfortably in the end, but maybe it doesn't play out that way. So having that extra shooter now, as far as Porter goes, it sounds like they're planning on resting some guys against the Pelicans. So they want Porter to be able to play because other guys aren't going to play. So they're playing that game. It gets caught up. But I'll bring it back to Klay Thompson. They look like a team against the Mavs that needs that extra shooter, even if, you know, at times they haven't needed it. Their defense has been elite. But I'll give you the other reason where I think it's going to help Steph Curry, because it goes to the rotation. He's getting back into that normal rotation, I think, almost immediately as Klay Thompson comes back, because those two are going to start together. And I think he's going to play the whole first quarter, and they're going to stagger it where Jordan Poole's in the game and Klay's in the game and Wiggins is in the game. And maybe even James Wiseman at some point when he comes back is in the game when Curry's not in the game. And that's going to allow him to build that rhythm that he would get into where he knew he was going to play the first and third. And the Warriors are going to have the ability to get through those stretches with more talent on the floor when he's resting.
Yeah, I think that's a definite possibility. And I mean, I'm not sure why he messed with that rotation, because that was the one thing that was always a mainstay. But the funny thing is people never liked it anyway. You know, that
well, they like it. They just wanted to come back with 8-9 minutes to go.
10, 11. Oh, well, actually, let's start him in the fourth quarter. But I do think it's noteworthy that he's playing more minutes now than any year since he was 25 years old. I mean,
more minutes and in the rotation that he doesn't like. Like, it's, you'd think it would be one of the other, like, you'd think if he's playing more minutes, it would be in a more suitable rotation. And I think this is another area. Just to jump in, this is another area where the Warriors, I think they think they're buying some time by getting them out of the game earlier, but all it does is set them up to want to leave them in the game when it's close,
right?
The whole fourth quarter. So even if Steve Kerr, like, once he's already in the game, it becomes harder to take him out of the game in the fourth quarter, as opposed to if he's already out of the game at the start of the fourth quarter. Then you can hold your mud a little bit if you're Steve Kerr. You can play the score, and if you're still ahead by enough or you're within enough, you can leave him out for an extra minute. So I think the old way of doing it is probably the best way of doing it for everybody, because now Steve Kerr gets caught in this, how can I take him out? And if I take him out now, then we go down by six, and then I how long do I – but no matter what, back to your point, he ends up playing more because of it when it's designed to play him less.
Right. Right. So, you know, I think that could very well be, you know, a piece of this. You know, the other thing is, and anytime you bring up like age when it comes to Steph Curry, or, you know, could this be the start of the decline, or, you know, he's going to be 34 in March, you know, and you start talking about Steph's mortality. This isn't how it happens. You know, he's gonna have good games from this point on. He's gonna have big games. He's gonna have high scoring games. It's not like, you know, all of a sudden this year he's gonna shoot, you know, like right now. Okay, let's do this right now. He's shooting 42% overall and 38.8%. From three. Now, if I had a bet, I would say at the end of the year, both those numbers will have improved. You know what I'm saying? At 42, let's say, goes to 44.4, and 38.8 goes to 40.9. Well, those are absolutely positively respectable numbers. But what you'll find is when you put them below last year's numbers, you're going to see a drop off, and the question's going to become, okay, next year, what happens? And he'll have great games next year. He'll have he'll have 5 40-point games, I'll bet you. But things just, you know, the great games become a little fewer by the year, and the bad shooting games start happening a little more. And that's what's happened this year. The bad shooting games for Steph Curry in less than half a year, like, those numbers are kind of staggering. Like, he's had more bad shooting nights this year than he's had in any one individual entire year of his career.
And now you look at this team, they're still 29-8.
Yeah.
Approach the midway point. And look, anytime they started off so well, that anytime they lose, Steiny, it's well, what's wrong with the Warriors, or how come they didn't win? And I think what we've seen really since the beginning of December, for the most part, is, and I think you go back to the last game of November, they're 18-2 going into that Phoenix game that they lost in Phoenix. So since then, they're what? They're 11-6. That's just more of a normal,
right,
good team record. You know, you're winning 2 out of 3, basically, you know, but you're not necessarily winning 9 out of 10 for a whole season. So I think in the grand scheme of things, everything's fine. But I think that and what I mean by that is there's two things you look at when you look at Curry struggling, right? It's, well, what has it cost the Warriors? And I don't really think it's cost them. Sure, there's games where if he shoots great, they win. But I don't think it's cost him anything to where, like, their record, like, their record is damn good. Their record is if anything, you could make a case, it's a testament to the other players that they have on this roster that they're capable of winning games without him. And I think that actually bodes well without him shooting that well. That bodes well for bigger games later on if they're going to get that kind of production to where they're going to be able to figure out how to win a game here and a game there. Then the playoffs are a different animal. I know that. The other question is, you know, does this impact the MVP race and things like that? I don't, but I think if he doesn't get it turned around quickly, it may change in the eyes of some voters.
Yeah, and I mean, the one thing you said, it's a testament to Curry's teammates. And in fairness, it's a testament to Curry too.
Yes.
Because he goes 5 for 24 last night, and the reality is he's still being guarded the same as if he were 15 for 22. So the dynamic hasn't changed in terms of the other guys getting the benefit from Steph Curry. It's just he's not making shots. But, you know, I do think that's another thing I'm going to be looking for is if, you know, at what point does Steph Curry, if there is a point, you know, the league or team say, geez, this guy is just not making shots like he used to. Let's just play him man to man tonight.
Yeah, not this year. Yeah, not this year.
So my point is if that doesn't happen, then there's a chance his numbers won't be great this year. But if that's the case, he's still going to be opening up stuff for everybody else on the floor. So that's kind of what I'm kind of waiting for. Is I think there may be a time when, you know what, you're like, you know what, maybe Steph, let's take a little focus off him. And then what happens when the minute you start taking a little bit of focus on him, you realize, oh, shoot, he's the same player he was 3 years ago if we just guard him regularly.
The other part is, how do you get him out of this if you're the Warriors, or how does he work himself out of it? Rest is one thing, whether it's in-game, giving him a few less minutes, or whether it's giving him a game like potentially this game against the Pelicans that's coming up as we're recording this later today. We're doing this on Thursday morning. The other part is obviously, you know, Klay Thompson coming back, but I'm also of the theory that sometimes you just have to let him almost just isolate and work his way through it as opposed to running the normal offense. Because when he does typically come out of it, how does it look when he comes out of it? Usually it's usually at the end of a game where he struggled for a half or a half plus, and maybe the Warriors are down, and then he goes for a 20 or a 25 point quarter or half, and all of a sudden he's back, and then he gets on a run. Like, it typically starts the turn in a game, frankly, like last night, where, and it didn't happen last night, but he would go for 18 and a quarter and they'd come back and they'd win. And then it'd be like, all right, Steph Curry's fine. And then he'd go on a hot streak. How does he work his way out of it? I think at times it's more of be a little bit more ball dominant, believe it or not, rather than working in the context of the offense.
Yeah. I also think it always helps when they can get out in the open court. And they didn't do much of that last night, but even when I'm closing my eyes and kind of picturing Curry on the high screen and roll this year, it feels like even when he comes off it, there's kind of just two guys in the vicinity. And then it feels like he's a step further out than he really would like to be. And then it feels like when he takes that shot, it's contested just a little better than it's always been. And it's just those little things, I think, that can, well, I know that can throw a shot off. So, you know, I felt like last night he was searching, like you're talking about. You know, he was looking for reasons to get to the basket. He was looking for reasons to, you know, to at least try to make everybody think he was going to be a big threat from 25 feet. But then he ended up getting himself into positions he kind of couldn't get out of. So yeah, last night I do think he pressed a little bit, but I'm not against a guy pressing just to get himself going, especially if, you know, he's a superstar for sure. Yeah, you know, you don't want Damian Lee doing that, but yeah, Steph Curry for sure.
Oh, Klay Thompson coming back. In all likelihood, it's going to be Sunday. Maybe that gets kicked a little bit. And you know, I'll just throw a wild card at you. Let's say Steph Curry has to miss a few games. Would you kick the Klay Thompson return down the line at that point?
I didn't even think of that, JD.
Because it crossed my mind. Like, let's say Steph can't play the Pelicans game, and he can probably come back on the road trip opener against Memphis. And that gives him basically 6 days off if you do that. And then he plays on the road trip. Like, but would those two be tied together? I think they're hoping this quad thing, they give him the Pelicans game off. Hasn't been announced yet as we record this, but then that gets him 3 days
off. Wow.
But
yeah, I didn't even think of that. But you know what? That's you would talk about a lot of facets. Let's just go through that though. Like, on the one hand, I could see Klay being, well, my timetable's not related to Steph's. But on the other hand, saying, you know, I want to come back with Steph. But if they stick to that, well, we're going to play him at home, that means he's got to sit four more games because they don't want to bring him back on the road. I mean, maybe at that point you change that plan and you do bring him back on the road. Because I actually don't think that's a – I mean, it's a big deal. But his first home game, whether it's coming after a game in wherever they play, Milwaukee or whoever, it's going to be – there's not going to be any less enthusiasm for Klay's first game at the Chase Center.
No doubt. And look, it's kind of a silly question, but it did among the many things. Like
I'm going to bring it up on the show today. I'll tell you that.
Well, that's great. I'll always like to help with the content, but I do, you know, I try to think of everything, even if I immediately will dismiss it or if I throw it at you, you'll say, yeah, I don't know about that. But you do try to think of every scenario. And that was one that popped into my head, was like, what if Steph's got to miss a week? Like, would that, you know, because they haven't cleared him yet. All of a sudden, maybe Klay's just not ready until that next home game against the Pistons. But
yeah, it's like me thinking that the Raiders and Chargers should agree to tie this weekend. You know, the Raiders come out. You know, they get the kickoff. They go to the 25 and they kneel, and nobody stops the clock, and they punt. And then the Chargers take the ball and they kneel and they go 0-0.
And they both make the playoffs. Brilliant, right? Next level. Light years.
Exactly.
Light years. A couple of things here. You'd asked me a couple of days ago about the All-Star voting.
Yeah.
And there hadn't been any results. The All-Star voting started on Christmas. Well, right here, as we started to record this, the first fan returns have come in.
All right.
As far as the All-Star voting, I wanted to relate this to Andrew Wiggins because I was curious where he would be. He's fourth in front court voting. So,
and they take three?
Three front court players. Yeah, the top three front court players and then the top two guards. And so the top two Western Conference guards are Steph Curry and Luka Doncic. And then the top three Western Conference players, and they include centers in front court, LeBron James, Nikola Jokic, and Paul George. Paul George is third. Andrew Wiggins is fourth. Only about, it looks like, 60,000 votes or so behind Paul George at this point. So does – I mean, and Paul George is obviously – been out,
right,
and dealing with injury. Draymond Green's fifth, so the Warriors are, the Warrior fans are filling the ballot box. Anthony Davis, Carl Anthony Towns, I mean Carmelo Anthony after that, among the four players. So,
well, I mean, no shade at Wiggins, but you know, Paul George probably won't play in it. Well, here's the thing. If Paul George gets voted in as a starter, to me, that hurts Wiggins. Because I think Wiggins would get the coach's vote over Paul George this year because Paul George has been hurt.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but if Paul George gets voted in, you know what I'm saying? That's one less spot.
Although I'm looking at, I mean, this is a guard-heavy Western Conference.
Well, first of all, I didn't even realize Doncic was a backcourt player. I guess that's true, but okay. I would have thought he was a frontcourt player. Well, so that helps.
Stop me when, because I'm going to run through the top. I'll run through the top seven guards in the West.
Okay.
You tell me there's one that.
How many do they take?
Well, they take the top two for sure. And then it's kind of open-ended.
It is. So you could theoretically take, after the starters have been announced, there could be five guards among the seven players that the coaches voted in.
I believe so. Well, and if there isn't, there needs to be this year. So here are the guards. Steph Curry, lock.
Right.
Luka, lock.
Right.
Ja Morant, lock.
Yep.
Fourth is actually Klay Thompson. He's the outlier. Shout out Warrior fans. Fifth, Devin Booker, lock.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Paul, lock.
Right.
Donovan Mitchell, lock. So to me, there's six guards right there, and then it tapers off. Then it's Damian Lillard, who I don't think is an all-star this year.
No.
It's Russell Westbrook. I mean, please. It's Anthony Edwards is actually the next guy at number 10. So yeah, there are legitimately, I think, six guards that should make it. I think there's still enough spots for Wiggins. I think Wiggins is going to make it, is my point. Like, we've debated, should he or shouldn't he? I don't see how he's going to get snubbed.
Well, first of all, couple big reasons, obviously. Paul George's injury, Kawhi Leonard's injury. Zion Williamson not playing probably helps him. And then I'm forgetting somebody, a forward Anthony Davis is probably not going to be an all-star this year because he's going to miss too many games. So if that's the case, I do think Wiggins is in. A couple players that I think, you know, does DeAndre Ayton make it? That will impact Wiggins.
Yeah, Gobert will make it.
And I do think there's a chance that, I think you can make a case for Carl Anthony Towns ahead of Wiggins if that's the way you wanted to do it. Just because, I could see a coach saying, well, Curry and Draymond are in it. Minnesota's having one of their better years. Let's give Carl Anthony Towns the nod.
Well,
then I'd have to look at how many actually the numbers.
Well, here's the other part too. We've talked about Wiggins, but what about Draymond? I mean, shouldn't Draymond be an all-star?
Absolutely. Oh, I think he's a lock.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm putting Draymond Green as a lock. Okay. Yeah.
And I wasn't sure because I would think he would have to be even over Wiggins at this point.
Definitely. I think.
I mean, when you look at the deep, I mean, he's been. Is he the defensive player of the year this year? I think he probably is, right?
Who?
Draymond.
He's up there. Yeah. I mean, yes. He's in the top three, like for sure.
Yeah. I mean, he's back at a level that we haven't seen in three or four years.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's there. So, yeah. I mean, was there something else just in the final minute or two here? Was there something else as far as the voting goes? Because I do have the top 10 in both conferences. Was there something you wanted me to explore just while I've got it?
No, I'm just trying to think of if we've forgotten anybody that could be like an outlier. Yeah, and I'm mostly like the San Antonio Spurs don't have an all-star.
I mean, DeJounte Murray's had a nice. I mean, he's probably not, but he's had a nice,
right.
He's had a right. nice half.
I mean, to me, it could be, you know, the Jazz, Gobert and Mitchell, Nuggets will get Jokic. Let's just say the Timberwolves get Karl Anthony Towns. You know, Lillard's going to be an interesting one. I don't see how he makes it unless he gets voted in. What about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander? Yeah. I mean, they stink. Yeah,
I can't reward the Thunder.
Gotcha.
I don't think he's been great enough. I think he's a terrific player. I don't think he's been great enough to where I'm giving him a spot for how poor they are as a overall as a team.
Yeah, but I do think Wiggins has a shot this year. That's for sure.
Yeah, I think Wiggins is getting in. I think Draymond for sure, and just the layout of everything is pretty favorable. I think for the Warriors having a contingent, man, having a pretty decent contingent, including, hey, does Steve Kerr, he's going to end up coaching this bad boy?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure he doesn't want to either. I'm sure he doesn't want to. So
yeah, are they gonna tank? Are they gonna tank to allow somebody else to go? I think that's gonna be important. All right, that'll do it. Our Warriors Weekly podcast in the books. For Matt Steinmetz, I'm John Dickinson. We'll talk to you next week.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.